Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is John Lott. And John will be speaking on Saturday, September 26th. He's the author of More Guns, Less Crime, and the president of the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about the Crime Prevention Research Center.
All right. Well, there's a group of about 20 academics from places like the Wharton Business School, Yale, University of Chicago, Stanford, other places, which have done a lot of research on crime and gun control and police-type issues over time. Basically, we've gotten together to try to make sure that there's accurate information out there on a range of different issues. There's a lot of people who are spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars right now that I think are being misrepresenting a lot of stuff. And when reports come out, we know where the numbers are and we can quickly respond on them. So, you know, you have Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars on putting out information that is just remarkably inaccurate. And we also do this research because we care about saving lives. Policing policies or different types of regulations can make a big difference whether or not you have more lives saved, whether you can reduce crime. And I think that's ultimately what's driving us and motivating us on this.
We're speaking with John Lott. John is the author of More Guns, Less Crime, also president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And he will be speaking at the Hilton Garden Inn on Saturday, September 26th of this month. Now, you are the author of several books. I mentioned More Guns, Less Crime. Tell us a little bit more about this book, John.
Sure. Yeah, I've written 8 books. More Guns, Less Crime is in its 3rd edition. It was published by the University of Chicago Press. It represents the largest study that's been done on crime. I look at literally thousands of different factors that can affect crime rates. The most important are law enforcement, police, probability of somebody being convicted, higher arrest rates, the death penalty. All those things account for about 50% of the variation in crime rates. But that's not the only thing that happens. I mean, I think police themselves, even though they are extremely important, understand that they almost always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. And the question is, what should people do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves? And just as police know how important it is for themselves to be able to have guns for their own protection, they're extremely supportive of law-abiding citizens being able to go and have guns for protection. And you, in fact, you find overwhelmingly that people benefit from having guns for protection. There's two groups that I find who benefit the most. One tends to be poor minorities, whether it's blacks or Hispanics who live in high-crime urban areas, simply because of the fact that they're most likely to be the victims of violent crime, they benefit the most from having the option to be able to go and defend themselves. And the other group that I find is people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. You're almost always talking about a young male criminal doing the attacking, and when a male is attacking a female, there's a lot larger strength differential that exists there than a male attacking another male. And so the presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change in a woman's ability to go and defend herself. So just as you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates, the fact that a victim might be able to go and defend themselves not only deters criminals, but it turns out to be by far the safest course of action for people to take when they're actually being forced to deal with one.
We're visiting with John Lott. John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and he will be speaking on the campus, actually at the Hilton Garden Inn, on the 26th of this month. And this is something that is going to approach and highlight some of the pros and cons of having guns on campus and other issues. And John, you mentioned earlier about the fact that there's a lot of misinformation, and the CPRC is partly, as you mentioned, responsible for telling journalists and other people as far as what the facts are. But there are always, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, that some people will say, well, what happens if I'm in a classroom and all of a sudden, you know, somebody has a gun in the classroom and it intimidates somebody else? How would that work? Because people can put anything in their backpacks.
Sure. Well, what I would say is let's look at the practice. You have 12 states now that mandate that guns be able to be allowed, permitted concealed handguns, be allowed on college campuses, public campuses. You have another 21 states that allow schools to decide whether or not to allow that. And so we have a lot of experience. And in fact, if you go back before the early 1990s, the states that allowed concealed carry back at that time basically all allowed concealed carry on college campuses. And yet, with all that experience, there's not a single case of a person with a permanent concealed handgun going on a campus where they're allowed, causing any problems. You know, there are lots of concerns that get raised, but rather than just dealing with hypotheticals, let's look at the data. So one of the things that gets raised is that the permit holder may accidentally shoot a bystander, even if they're trying to stop one of these mass public shootings. Well, people can go to our website at crimeresearch.org. There's literally dozens of cases in just the last few years where police or prosecutors have said that mass public shootings have been stopped by concealed carry permit holders. And yet, you can't find one single case of all those instances where a bystander was shot by a permit holder. Similarly, one of the concerns that's often raised is that, well, you know, maybe when the police arrive on the scene, they'll accidentally shoot the permit holder rather than the culprit that's there. And yet, again, you can look at all these cases, and I can't find, no one that I know of has pointed to a single case where a police officer has made that type of mistake and accidentally shot the permit holder rather than the person who was committing the crime. So, you know, if there were cases, you know, if there was a couple or a few or more cases, then it may be something to go and debate. But what you find is that permit holders tend to be extremely law-abiding. You know, they lose their permits for any type of firearms-related violation at hundreds or thousands, and in some states even tens of thousands of one percentage point. And, you know, I would argue it's impossible to find any other group in the population that's anywhere near as law-abiding. The concern that you have when you say, well, anybody can go and carry a gun into their backpack, sure. But that's the problem when you have these gun-free zones. When you ban the guns, it's only the bad guys who are going to go and carry their guns in, not the law-abiding citizens who obey these laws. And what you end up doing is rather than making it safe for the victims by banning the guns, you make it safe for the people who are trying to do the attacks. There's a reason why, since at least 1950, with just two exceptions, every single one of the mass public shootings have taken place where guns are banned. You know, you just did in the last year or so, whether it be the Santa Barbara shooting or the New Brunswick, Canada shooting or the Charleston shooting, you find explicit statements from these killers about why they took the targets that they did, because other targets, they were worried that people with guns might be able to stop them. And you just see that time after time. I mean, even when we finally got the diary out on the Aurora, Colorado Batman movie theater shooter, he had talked about going after other targets, but he had turned them down because he was worried that, you know, police or others with guns who would be located there would stop him before he could go and kill the people that he wanted to go and kill. So he, and in fact, when you look at the movie theaters, there were 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of his apartment that were showing the premiere of the Batman movie. Only one of those movie theaters posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. That's the movie theater he went to, not the movie theater that was closest to his home, not the movie theater that advertised itself prominently as having the largest auditoriums in the state of Colorado, something that you think might be attractive to somebody who wants to go on a mass murder spree to have as many victims as possible there for the premiere of a Batman movie. Instead, he went to the only place where the potential victims weren't able to defend themselves. And you just see it time after time that these guys explicitly talk about trying to find targets where people can't defend themselves.
So because of, you just mentioned that this shooting the shooter actually in Colorado had different areas to choose from. So coming here to El Paso and speaking on campus at the Hilton Garden Inn, what is it that you're going to tell this audience that they probably haven't heard yet? Or also, does region have something to do with it because we live on the border?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not sure region necessarily has something to do with it. Obviously, there's urban areas tend to have higher crime rates than more rural areas do, so El Paso being a city. But, you know, it's just there are lots of places that have higher crime rates than El Paso does. The issue is in any of these places, even though the police are extremely important, there's so many possible targets. And there's like no way, even though we have like 700,000 police officers in the United States, full-time police officers, you know, only about a third are working at any point in time or so, there's no way they can cover all the targets that are there, you know, whether it's terrorist targets or whether it's mass public shootings or what have you. No matter how good they are, it's impossible. And we don't have the money to go in place, make sure that every victim is protected or potential victims protected by a police officer that's there. And so what's the alternative? Well, one alternative is to make it risky. Not everybody has to carry, but as long as some do and the criminals know, I mean, there's a reason why they keep on finding these places that guns are banned. Here's one way to think about it. God forbid, let's say a criminal was stalking you or your family. Would you feel safer putting a sign in front of your home that said your home was a gun-free zone? That guns were banned there? Would that make you feel safer?
No.
Right. Well, I've debated lots of gun control advocates, and not one of them would put up a sign like that in front of their home because they know, and they don't say it because they know it's not credible with the audience for them to go and say something like that. It's not like a criminal is going to go and say, geez, I can't go in this home because guns aren't allowed there. Instead, it's more likely he's going to go in. If he has two homes and he sees people inside in both the homes, it's a magnet for him to go there. And, well, if people understand that for their own personal lives, why do we put up these signs in terms of other vulnerable areas that we're concerned about?
So we are visiting right now with John Lott, and John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He will be speaking at the Hilton Garden Inn on Saturday, the 26th, and he's going to be talking about concealed carry, UTEP, other campuses, and again, the pros and cons that people may have as far as gun control. Is there a specific website, John, that people can go to find out more about your organization or finding out more about the guns and laws and other things that people have put forth?
Sure. Well, our website is crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. And there are tabs there so people can look at the research that we've done on a variety of topics, from concealed carry to background checks to lots of different types of issues that are there. And there's another tab where they can go and look at our board of academic advisors. We have some of the top academics in the world who are on our board. I'm very proud of some of the people. Bill Landis at the University of Chicago is probably one of the top two or so professors in law and economics in the world. And we have other people. Scott Armstrong at the Wharton Business School has done path-breaking work on terrorism. So we're very proud of the Board of Academic Advisors that we have, and people can see who they are, as well as the research that we've done by going to our website.
As far as research and also people attending this speaking engagement that you're going to be at, some people might say, well, it's geared toward academics, so I'm really not going to get much out of this.
I'll confess, I've been an academic most of my life, but I've also done other things. I mean, I've had academic positions at the Wharton Business School, University of Chicago, Yale, Stanford, myself. And but I have written a lot of popular stuff. I have 8 books. I think generally they're accessible to people. I've written, I don't know how many op-eds and been on lots of talk radio shows. So, I mean, if people basically can understand percentages, and I think I can explain pretty much everything else. People know by listening to the level of conversation that you and I have had, how I'll be speaking to them at, at the breakfast. But it should be a lot of fun.
Well, you mentioned earlier about, crime in cities, and El Paso has been ranked as one of the safest cities in the United States. So some people might go to this conference or somewhere else, perhaps a blog, and say, well, we live in one of the safest cities in America, so why should we get guns?
Right. Well, again, I mean, as I said, I know there are lots of places that have higher crime rates than you have there, but there's still a benefit. There's still, even if it's relatively low on average, there are some places in the city which are higher than others. I worry about the types of people who are likely to be victims. And besides that, every place in the country faces issues about terrorism and things like that. There's only so many places that police can go and cover. And the problem is the police face a very difficult job. Being in uniform, if you're in uniform and a terrorist wants to go and do an attack on someplace, he can either kill the person in uniform first, wait for them to leave, or choose another target. The benefit that you have from letting people know, letting these individuals know that people may be carrying permanent concealed handguns, is they don't know who they have to attack first. It's just not me. You can see on our website, I have a recent piece on Ron Noble, who's the Secretary General of Interpol, kind of Europe's version of the FBI. And he's talked about how his views on gun control have changed dramatically. Over, 10 years ago, his notion was, well, you just ban guns from an area and that will make things safer. The problem is, he said, is that it's impossible to pretty much ban guns from an area. The law-abiding citizens will obey it, but not the terrorists, not the bad guys. And he said, so you know, if you have a mall or you have a business or you have something else, if you give terrorists enough time, they'll figure out, even if you have metal detectors or what have you around there, they'll figure out some way to go and get weapons into the facility.
John, we are running out of time now, but again, crimeresearch.org is the website, and John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, he will be speaking on Saturday, the 26th, at the Hilton Garden Inn. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much. I look forward to meeting people in El Paso.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.